You're listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
Bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord this morning. Now I know you can do a little bit better than that. We serve an all-powerful, all-wonderful and mighty God. You know, when we hear the word fire, some of us tend to...
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.
Fire is not something that brings about any good. But in the natural, that's what we see fire as, something that can bring us harm, something that can destroy those things that are around us. And that's the natural thing to do because fire is a destructive force. But that's the natural. It is in the spiritual that if the believer understands the power and the might of his power, that we will understand how to move in its might. We're going to start in the book of this morning. Starting in chapter 13, we come in contact with Abram and Lot. Abram and Lot both have acquired a large amount of wealth. And it gets to the point where they can no longer be together, and their men start quarreling. So now they have to separate. And so when they separate, Abram gives Lot his choice of land. Lot chooses to go to a place near Sodom and Gomorrah, right on the outskirts of it, so close, he chooses to dwell there. By the time we get to chapter 18, Abram is now praying on behalf of Lot, who is in Sodom at this time, asking God, if there be 10 there, will you not destroy it? So he's praying for Lot. In the midst of that, Lot is encaptured by a rebellion that comes about. Abram has to go and save him and brings him back, and Lot chooses to go back to Sodom. So by the time we get to chapter 19, which is where we'll begin, Lot has become a great man. He's a judge, he's a businessman, considered to be righteous. He knew good, he knew bad, he knew wickedness. So he sought to change the mind of the people. He sought good. He wanted to do good because he didn't like what was going on in the city. So he's at the gate of the city, tending the affairs, because that's where all of the affairs occurred. All of your business affairs were at the gate. But Lot enjoyed making money. He was a righteous man, but he enjoyed making money on the people. So Lot ends up being caught between lifestyle and faith. Anybody know what I mean, being caught up between lifestyle? Sometimes you end up meddling back and forth, trying to figure out, do I want to do this lifestyle or do I want to defend my faith? So Lot is stuck in the middle. He's lukewarm. He's at the gate and he's lukewarm. And so by this time, the angels are coming to the city and he greets them because it's a hospitable thing to do. Invite them into his home because he knows the wickedness in the city. So Lot says, come to my home. And the angels say, no, we don't want to stay in your home. We're going to stay in the center, the middle of the city. He says, no, I think you need to stay with me. And in the midst of that, there's an encounter with the wickedness in the city. And then that brings us to verse number 12. It says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? He says, take them out of this place. Tell your neighbor, God saves.
God saves.
I'm going to talk to you this morning about God's saving fire. God saves. Verse 13, it says, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. But tell your neighbor, God protects. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, they thought he was joking. Tell your neighbor, believe God, at his word. So when the morning dawned, they urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." But then it says, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. But the New American Standard Version says, but he hesitated. He hesitated. To hesitate means to pause before saying or doing something, especially when you are uncertain. You're reluctant to do something because you don't know whether you should move or not. You hesitate. Lot was about to make a decision to stay in a bad place, so he hesitates. How many of you have hesitated to move out of a bad place simply because you're uncertain? You don't know whether you should move or not, because you are hesitating. But God is saying, I'm trying to move you to a greater place, but you can't move because you are hesitating. I have put something before you to allow you to move, but you're hesitating? I put it right in front of you, and you can't reach out and take it? I died for you, but you can't reach out and take it? You have salvation and you're hesitating to receive his glory, to receive his power, to receive his might, and you're hesitating? Lot hesitates. There's a movie that came out some years ago, and some of you might be familiar with it, Final Destination. There's a group of students who are getting ready to go out of the country. And there's one young man on this plane who's never flown, and he's scared. And he's sitting there, and he's sweating. And he starts to have a vision. He sees what's to come. And when he sees it, he wakes up. And when he wakes up, he jumps up, and he moves. He doesn't hesitate. He moves. Now, the God that we serve, who sends us sign after sign after sign after sign, and we still don't move, I have to ask you, where is your heart? Because you're stuck in the middle, and you can't make about moving when God is trying to get you to move. So God has to create a circumstance to force your hand to move. And I'm not a big chess player. I don't really play chess, but I had an uncle who played it. And the whole motive is to push a man in the corner, to back him up in the corner to where they don't have no options. Why does God have to back us up in the corner to where we don't have any options? I gotta bring a circumstance in your life to make you move. I gotta bring fire to your life to make you move. But Lot hesitates. But Lot is hesitating because he falls into a moment of weakness and least expectation. A moment of weakness says, I'm unable to resist. I can't resist what's before me. And that one temptation is going to keep me from receiving the promise that God has laid out for me. Because I'm so stuck in the middle. Lot is in a weakness in his life. where he can't seem to make a decision. So the angels literally have to pull him out of the city. And least expectation says, it's not going to happen. Why should it happen now? It hadn't happened in 20 years. I've been working this job 20 years. Why move now? Why should I move now? I've been in this place 20 years. I'm stuck in tradition. Why move now? Relationships that's been going on for so long, but yet you don't want to change the atmosphere. Letting go of those things that you need to let go of. A moment of weakness and least expectation. But he wants to prepare you for what's to come. But he can't prepare you if you're so stuck on staying in a place that he doesn't want you to be. He's trying to prepare you to get you to a better place. But we're so stuck and we can't see where God wants to take us. If I know a storm is coming, then I know I'm going to prepare because I know it's coming. But what about the least expectation? When you least expect it, and then you're not prepared. Because you weren't expecting it. And God is asking us to be prepared for all circumstances. Because if you are prepared, that means when it is presented to you, you walk in without any problems. It's smooth sailing. Because you prepared as God asked you to prepare. So why do we hesitate? Because we want to stay in the comfort zone. We want to stay what's most familiar to us. I don't want to try anything new. I want to stay back in the past. I don't want to move forward. I'm close to retirement. Why change it now? We hesitate when God is saying we need to move forward. But then it says he hesitated. So when the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. Compassion, concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Many times we don't think God really cares because of the circumstances that are presented to us. And so we feel like we're all alone and shut out sometimes from the world. But God has compassion. Because he shows a lot of compassion, and he takes him out of the city. But guess where God takes him? He only takes him to the edge. The edge. You know, the edge. The edge means a brink. A place where I've got to really make a decision on whether I'm going to go forward or whether I'm going to go back. So he puts him at the outskirts of the city, on the outside. On the outside means beyond the limits. I'm trying to take you beyond your limits because I know what you're capable of. I know what the power that is inside of you. So I've got to take you to the edge, the place that you don't want to go to because you fear that when you get to the edge, you're not going to know what to do. But guess what? God doesn't leave you without any instructions. Because when he gets him to the edge of the city, he specifically tells him, escape. Verse 17, he says, so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Escape, meaning avoid what is dangerous. Break free from your confinement. Get away from what's holding you back. Whether it be addictions, whether it be friends, whether it be family, whether it be a job, what is holding you back? What is the hindrance that is keeping you from moving forward? He says, escape. I need you to get away from these surroundings so I can put you in a better surrounding. He says, escape for your life. Then he says, don't look back. We know who looked back in the story, and we know what happened to her. But he says, don't look back. And then he says, don't even stay anywhere near it. Because when you get anywhere near it, you are asking for temptation. You asking for the very thing he has taken you out of, yet you want to go back to the very temptation that he's drawing you away from? He said, escape. Don't look back and don't even revisit it in your mind. Because you know your mind will mess you up too, right? Sit down and think about it for a few minutes. Then you'll find yourself easing back on over to this side where you were. And it don't take but a minute. It don't take but a hot second to get you back to this edge. It don't take but a minute. And one false move can ruin your life. It don't take but one. One false move can ruin your life. And Lot is about to do that. Doesn't want to move. He hesitates. And God literally has to take him out of the city and said, you know what? You may not want to move, but I'm going to move you myself. Anybody ever had God had to move you himself? You didn't do it willingly. He had to create a circumstance to force your hand to move. Anybody ever had that happen? I know I have. Come on and give God some glory for it. Because you wouldn't be where you are today had he not taken you out of that place. Because you would be broke down and disgusted. You would be miserable. But the God we serve is a mighty God. Oh, the power of our God. Take me out. Tell your neighbor, take me out. Because he is powerful. That's the God we serve. God's trying to break the bars of his mind to say, I need to get you out of this place. You've been here too long. I need to get you in my presence. But look where he tells him to go. He says, go to the mountain. He said, go to the mountains. And there are a lot of things that took place on the mountain. You know, that's where Moses got the commandments. He got his calling on the mountain. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. Oh, so much happened on the mountain. Do you understand what the mountain is? The mountain is God's place of worship for he and his people. It is a place of holiness on the mountain. A place where you can get to and God can commune with you. Where there is nothing there but you and him. He says, I want you to go to the mountain. The mountain, I'm trying to get you there. But we hesitate. We hesitate because of where we are. He's trying to get him to the holy place. But Lot turns around and says, no. I'm trying to get you to a place. And Lot doesn't want to go. He says, no, please, my Lord. Don't send me there. Why would he do that? Because he's lukewarm. He doesn't want to leave what he's used to. He doesn't want to go to a new place where he doesn't know where he's going. It's unfamiliar to him. This could be a new beginning, but he doesn't want to start anew. And many of us are afraid to start anew. But if we trust God, and we know his word, and we know his power, and we know his might, then we don't have to fear about where we're going. We trust him enough to know that he loves us. But Lot says, no, don't send me there. Lot starts to bargain with God. Anybody here ever tried to bargain with the Lord? You know, when you bargain, you want to negotiate the terms or conditions of the contract. You negotiate, oh God, don't send me over there. But I tell you what, how about you send me over here? I can make it over here. I know I can make it right here. I just don't want to go over there. We negotiate. Lot is negotiating where he wants to go. Children do the same thing with their parents. They negotiate. Mom, I don't want to go there, but let me go here. And the parent sometimes will have compassion. And they will allow their children to go somewhere, all because they know that it's not going to hurt them. And that's what God does for Lot. He has compassion. He says, okay, I'm going to let you go here because I love you, but I'm not going to send you to a place that's going to harm you. You've been there. You've done that. I'm trying to get you to a greater place. So I'm going to let you go to this place. And so he says in verse 21, he says, and he said to him, see, I have found favor concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city in which you have spoken of. He says, hurry, escape, therefore I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. Zoar, meaning insignificant place. A place that has no power and no influence. This place that he's sending him to is meaningless. So God already knows. I know what you're asking me, but I don't think you know that you. I know what you're asking me. Did you hear what I said? I know what you're asking, but I don't think you know what you're asking of me. I don't think you know that the place that you're asking me to go is just like the place that I'm trying to get you to. So you might think you're getting over, but you're not getting over because God already knows where he's sending you. See, Lot was trying to get out of that mountain, that holy place, that place of worship. And all God is really trying to do is get him to a place where he can commune with him. Bring him back to himself. Bring him back to full and total worship. But if I go to a place that is meaningless and has no power or influence, there is absolutely nothing there. Which means you still aren't going to have a choice but to worship me. Anyhow, you still don't have a choice because I'm going to allow you to go to this place. Y'all with me? Only God knows what's best for us. Only God can tell us where we should be. See, this entire time, Lot has been covered. And Lot's name in the Hebrew means covering. Abram covered him, and he sent his angels his way. So God is covering Lot the entire time. And guess what? God wants to cover you.
Amen.
But I need you to get out of this place of hesitation and not wanting to move forward in who I've called you to be. His covering. And then, verse number 24. It says, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire. Fire is the rapid, persistent chemical change that releases heat and light and is accompanied by fire, by light. That's the natural. That's fire in the natural. And we know what fire can do. It burns. You get too close to it, it burns. It can destroy you. It can be very destructive to you in the natural. But in the spiritual, fire is to be filled with passion. To be filled with passion. Fervent enthusiasm. Fire. God wants to fill you with his fire. But in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we understand that it was judgment. It was judgment, and he wanted to save his people. But they didn't line up according to his will. And Lot ends up being covered. So why does God send the fires of our life? Number one, he sends the fires of our life to cover, protect, and show his glory. To cover, protect, Amen. And show his glory. When God wants you to know who he is, he's going to send a fire to your life. These are the fires of life. We may not want to deal with the fires of life, but when he sends these fires, he has a purpose for this fire. It may be hard and it's difficult to endure, but God has a reason that he wants to send his fires. Prime example is Exodus 40, 38. And I'll start at 34. It says, Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter this tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. God wants to cover you even in the fires of life. Even when the Israelites were traveling, he was covering them to make sure that they were going to be protected. So you may be experiencing hell in your life. You may be sick. You may be afflicted. You may have mental issues going on. But God still wants to cover you through that fire. Because we've all been tried by the fire, but we all come out smelling like beauty. If we can go through the testing. The second reason we have the fires of life is to test. It's a test. A test is an event or situation that reveals the strength or quality of someone or something by putting them under strain. How much pressure can you handle? The fires of life. I don't know how much you can handle unless I can put you under strain. Lot had three warnings, three tests. Number one, he was captured. Test one. Number two, the angels come into town and they tell him, take your family out of here. He doesn't move. That's two. The angels turn around again and they tell him, take your family out of this place. That's three. Three signifies the completeness of sin. It is the threefold testing of man. God wants to cleanse. So the third reason God sends the fires is to purify. He wants to purify his people. Meaning he's got to cleanse you completely and get everything out of you that doesn't need to be. See, when you're purified, that means you are free from defilement. He is purging you from things that should not be inside of you. Whether it be mentally or whether it be physically. Uncleanness. He wants to cleanse you. But if he can't get you to a place where you can worship with him, how can he cleanse you? I've got to get you to a significant place. So that I can cleanse you, so that I can purge you, to test, to purify. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So when our tests come, it comes to determine what it rules you, your heart or your mind.
My God.
Lot is struggling with the heart and the mind. Lifestyle and faith. Which one do I want to contend, lifestyle or faith? To purify. Isaiah 4, verse 2, purifying. It says, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, which is holy, and remains in Jerusalem, will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, this is cleansing, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flame by fire by night. So I cannot cover you until I cleanse you. I cannot cover you until I cleanse you. Purging has to come, because he said it point blank. I've got to clean out all of this. And when I clean all of this out, then I can cover you by day, and then I can cover you by night. Covering. When the fire comes, it comes to take away every heartache, every pain, every sickness, every disease, everything that is hindering you, the fire comes through to purge you. It comes to cleanse you and make you who Christ has called you to be. But we meddle in the middle. Wavering lifestyle and faith. We can't meddle between the two. Do you trust him or don't you trust him? Do you trust him? Don't you trust him? Lifestyle and faith. Which one is it? You can't be lukewarm, as they say. You have to make a decision about life. Can't get to the edge and then decide, you know what, I'm going to go back. You've come too far. What's the song? I've come this far by what? By faith. Y'all know the song. I've come this far by. It's too late to turn back now. And the fourth reason that God sends the fires of life is to empower you. God wants to empower you to be a vessel unto him. Because we are all a call to minister. He wants to empower you. Power simply means given authority, the ability to act or produce an effect when you have power. That means you have the ability to act when you have power. That's an ability. But when I empower you, I'm now giving you the legal authority to act, the legal authority to move when I empower you. And this is what God does with his disciples. And he starts out in Matthew 3:11, which says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to empower you with the ability and the legal authority to move. I want to give you the enthusiasm, the passion to move forward in me. The ability to act. Because we have to give him the ability to come in, the authority to come in. We have to ask him to come in because he gave us dominion over the earth. And because he gave us dominion, we have to ask him in. You know, we're not robots to where he has to control every move. He gives us free will. So he's asking you to ask him to come in. He wants to give you the legal authority, but you got to ask him to come in. You got to give him free room, free reign to move. But if you box me in and get stuck in this hesitation, I can't move inside of you because you're not doing what I've asked you to do. I want to empower you. Anybody want to be empowered this morning? Anybody want to be empowered? Because the fire is inside of you. Inside of you is power, but you want to be empowered to move. And then God uses his disciples at the day of Pentecost. Y'all go with me to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages and tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with fire. The way they says the fire came and sat on their heads, and they were empowered to move in God's might. His Holy Spirit and his fire. You are empowered to do. You have the ability, but you're not using the ability that God has given you. You are empowered. Do you want his fire? Do you want his supernatural power? That's to be empowered by God. His fire is inside of you, but you got to release it. You have to release it, and you release it by having his passion, enthusiasm, being filled with his Spirit. Then you ignite the fire that is inside of you. Come on and ignite the fire inside of you. Do you have the fire? I don't see nobody with no fire. Stand to your feet and give him glory. Stand to your feet and ignite the fire. Open your mouth. Give him glory. Come in the bowels of your belly. Come in the bowels of your belly. Lift up the fire. Give him the fire inside of you. Do you want the fire? Open your mouth and give him the fire. You got to know. Oh, you got to give it to him. Open your mouth. If you have the gift of the tongues, oh, lift your voices now all over this room. Open your mouth. Be empowered with his might. Be empowered with his fire. Be empowered with his Spirit. Come on. Open your mouth. Lift your hands. Oh, Father, we give you glory. Oh, Father, we ask you now. Come into this room, God. Have your way, God. Ignite the fire, God. Oh, ignite the fire. Oh, ignite the fire all over this room, God. Oh, breathe your word, God. Breathe your fire, God. Breathe your word, God. We're waiting on you, God. We love you, God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, feel his fire. Feel the fire. Oh, feel the fire. Oh, feel the fire. Oh, feel the fire. Oh, God, feel the fire. You are empowered. You are empowered. Oh, my God, you are empowered. God says, I need you to stop sitting. Oh, stop sitting in me. Oh, God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Oh, God said there's a covering in this room. Oh, there's a covering in this room. Oh, oh, there's such a covering and such a presence in this room that God wants to fill you with his fire. He wants to ignite the fire in you. Oh, receive his fire. Oh, Oh, receive his fire. Oh, receive his fire. Oh, receive his fire. Oh, receive his fire. Oh, oh, God. Oh, all over this room. God says, I want to meet you at the altar. He says, come bring every burden, every weight, every hindrance, and release it to me. Because when you release it, then I will breathe my fire on you. He said, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't look around. Don't see your neighbor. Bring it to the altar. Oh, God. Bring it to the altar. Oh, every weight. Oh, every hindrance. Oh, God. He said, bring it to. And then I can cover you with my anointing. Bring your burdens to me, God. Bring your burdens to me. Bring your heartaches to me. Lay it at the altar. Lay it at the altar. And then I can cover you. When you receive my fire, when you receive my fire, I'm going to pour all of my spirit on you, and you won't look back. Bring all your burdens, bring them all to me. Let me cover you. Let me comfort you. Oh, God. Oh, oh, this is for the woman. Oh, Reba Shotora. There are women in this room. You think you're lonely at night. But God says, I want to cover you. I want to cover you. I want to hold you at night. Even when you're crying, I want to hold you. He said, lady, bring it to me, bring it to me, bring it to me. And my men, let go of the pride. Let go of the sin. I'm still there. I'm still there. I'm still there. No sin is hidden from me. Let my fire fill you. Let my fire fill you. Children, oh God, my sweet children, your surroundings may be challenging to you, but I got that too. Let me fill you with my spirit. Let me fill you with my fire. Let me ignite inside of you. Let me grow inside of you. Let my power reign. Let my power reign. Oh, Rebbe Hitchoto. Oh, Rebbe. In Jesus. Oh, Rebbe. Oh, Rebbe. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Oh,
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.